This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Spanky very much.
We gotta keep this network growing bigger and bigger, keep challenging power and all its manifestations. They're afraid. They need $1 billion to fight us. We're the ones with the power. When we unite and we realize our power, there's no stopping us.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, the number one window replacement service outlet.
The reason I would choose Access Glass is because we're very prompt. We have rapid service, and if the glass can be replaced that night, it'll be put in that night instead of boarding up and going back the next day.
I'm your host, the Stimulator, and I know you're just dying for me to play some riot porn. But before I do that, I must pay my respects to the peeps who organized last Friday's Justice for Our Communities rally. You see, confronting the security apparatus and smashing capitalism is only one side of the motherfucking resistance. The other side is the folks building roots in the community while providing alternatives to the fucking corrupt beasts that we are trying to liberate ourselves from. Here is Moham Mishra, one of the organizers of Friday's action.
You can see from the demonstration the police presence today was outrageous. See so many police on the street, essentially turning the city into an armed camp, trying to stop people from communities around the city from being able to voice their concerns.
You see, when you expose the system for the failure that it is, and show peeps a different way to see the world, the motherfucking ruling elites start getting trigger happy. Friday's march saw an escalation of pig presence, even though the event was billed as a music-filled block party.
I am with a group of people who are all here with their children, very intentionally.
That's right. This diverse group of organizers created a friendly space and even provided loads of food and childcare for the motherfucking resistance. And as a bonus, the food was fucking tasty. When the crowd finally took to the streets, one could see how many different struggles were represented. Migrants, disabled peeps, trans and queers, and brown peeps from all parts of the world united in their desire to better the planet, to not just hope that things will change, but to actively work to make that shit real. As the fun-filled street carnival spread like sugar all over T-Dot, the motherfucking pigs came in Darth Vader style and attempted to piss on our parade. The Popo also formed a wall of bacon in front of the Police Museum and Discovery Center. Now try to remember the scene, because the next day the situation will look very different. In the end, the motherfucking resistance shut them down, and the street party circled around the city for several hours, ending in a tent city and a dance party well into the wee hours, where for one night, people lived in the world they wanted to see. On Saturday morning, a humongous rally of many different groups gather at Queen's Park to let blah blah motherfucking blah. You already know what happened there. That's a fucking lootly nothing. On the back of the march, well, that's a different story. The Get Off the Fence contingent was billed as a confrontational, anti-colonial, anti-capitalist convergence where
we will take back our city from these exploitative profiteers, and in the streets we will be uncontrollable. This is a militant march, where many forms of resistance and tactics are welcomed and respected.
This uncontrollable expression of rage kicked off with a big splash as a sea of black clad freedom fighters broke off from the main march and swarmed and smashed this pigmobile. Now for those who say that the police abandoned the cop cars so that the black bloc could smash them, you're absolutely right about the smashing and the abandoning. But absolutely wrong about the motivation. The police did abandon this car, but only after it was smashed. After this explosive start, for the next hour, all you could hear was... Do you know what that is? That's the sound of capitalism being smashed. I cannot even count how many corporate stores were vandalized. Starbucks, Adidas, Burger King, Starbucks, American Apparel, Starbucks, to name just a few. I suspect that at Tim Hortons, a Canadian corporate donut store, the popo were able to get there before the block, as the shelves that normally stock pig fuel were already empty. But corporate chains were not the only ones that got smashed. Jewelry stores and porno stores were also targeted. But the crowning symbol of this powerful demonstration of courage was the burning of cop cars. Banks were also high on the target list, and I can say without a doubt that every single motherfucking financial institution along the way got its just deserves. The scum-sucking corporate media and the subservient state-run media were also not welcome in this new vision of the world. Remember this building?
Your bank's getting fucked.
Well, the pigs were not that brave this time around and stood back like stiff statues as the resistance remodeled the pig museum. This was a fitting symbol, because when we abolish the police, the only memory of their past existence will be in the halls of a museum. Yep. That day, the people were writing their own history, as the space of corporate rule was stolen back and placed in the hands of the new pioneers. It's only appropriate that I steal back Walt Whitman's words from the walls of the smashed Levi store.
Pioneers, oh pioneers, come, my tan-faced children, follow well in order. Get your weapons ready. Have you your pistols? Have you your sharp-edged axes, pioneers, oh pioneers? For we cannot tarry here. We must march, my darlings. We must bear the brunt of danger. We, the youthful, sinewy races, all the rest on us depend. Pioneers, oh pioneers. Oh, you youths, Western youths, so impatient, full of action, full of manly pride and friendship. Plain I see you, Western youths. See you tramping with the foremost. Pioneers, oh pioneers. We debouch upon a newer, mightier world, varied world, fresh and strong the world we seize. Pioneers, oh pioneers.
Just like in February, when the motherfucking resistance smashed shit up in Vancouver, the detractors came out in droves.
There have been very, very serious allegations, or indeed proof, of police infiltration and use of agent provocateur.
This time we were well prepared for the backlash from liberals and lefties, but the backlash became less about why smashy smash is bad and sounded more like a dumb motherfucking Alex Jones conspiracy theory.
I don't know why the police didn't stop them. I saw them go. They were really easy to stop. When they started to torch that car, there were riot police all around. They just sat and watched them do it. Now, I want to know why they didn't stop them.
So your advice or your question is you thought the police should have stopped them right then and there instead of...
Yeah, right at the beginning.
That was champagne liberal Judy Rebick. Just like the police in the last segment, she is a relic of the past. The idea that Rebick is pushing on young impressionable minds is the same load of horseshit that the mainstream media and the stupid motherfucking Alex Jones sheeple have been spreading in the internet. That cops let it happen. But even smart peeps like Naomi Klein drank the TO50 false flag dingleberry Kool-Aid.
And so what happened is that the bosses of this police force and other police forces decided to play public relations. And instead of doing their jobs, they let the city burn. They let those cop cars burn.
Such a defeatist attitude is pretty fucking sad. Now, I am not suggesting that we dismiss Klein altogether. Her analysis of corporate rule is an important part of our movement, but it would be wrong not to call her out on her blunder. For those of us who were there, what we saw was cops running scared and losing control of the situation every step of the way. Mass arrests of peaceful demonstrations that follow for the next 24 hours was a way for the pigs to save face. We don't have to look back far to see that this has happened time and time again. The police don't know how to react to a decentralized fluid force of mass skinny anarchists. It happened in Seattle, and it happened in St. Paul during the RNC.
Well, during the RNC, police had two dispatch centers, literally 20 feet apart, one for the convention, the other for the rest of the city. But for two crucial hours, there was a breakdown in communication between them, and no one was seeing the big picture.
It's the sound of St. Paul police losing control of their city. Police dispatch tapes from day one of the Republican convention show for a couple of hours between noon and 2 o'clock, downtown belonged to the anarchists.
When facing certain defeat, the pigs throw everything they got at the problem without much thought. To help me add the final cherry to my argument, I spoke with Christian Williams, author of Our Enemies in Blue. Hey, Christian, how the fuck are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
So, can you break down for me why the police react the way that they do when they are punked?
The nature of the authority that's invested in the police is that they are authorized to use violence. And now, it's very telling who they use the violence against. Disproportionately, it's men. Disproportionately, it's young men. Disproportionately, it's people of color and poor people. That tells us something about who they see it as their job to control. It also tells us something about who they see the as legitimate targets for their violence. So, and the equation here is pretty simple. It's that the police tend to direct their resources toward hassling people that aren't likely to cause them trouble. So they tend to be people who don't have the resources to fight back. Now, when people do fight back, especially when that takes the form of physical violence, the reaction of the authorities of violence against the police is hugely exaggerated compared to the reaction of the authorities to violence against other people in society. And, this gets sort of explained in terms of sort of police heroism and the cops, risking their lives to keep us all safe and that sort of thing. But really, it's a very, simple need on the part of the state to maintain its monopoly on force. So if other people start using force, especially against the monopoly holder, then the position of the state as the final arbiter with the backing of force is challenged. So it's very important from the perspective of state building to maintain that monopoly.
And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. My heart goes out to all those brave peeps who challenged the power structure and are now caged in the guts of the system. I also want to thank all of those who supported this motherfucking show during our stay in TDOT, Toronto Media Co-op, Alternative Media Center, Double G, Dexter, Sean, Courtney, Bella, Harmony, Benjamin, Steven, Ted, Jason, Audrey, Shannon, Christopher, Gorilla, Michael, Dan, Peter, Jared, and the entire Fraser community. Saperga. To comment on this show or for links to more riot porn, just visit my fucking website, stimulator.tv. Now repeat after me. G8, G20, they few, we many.
Kids, you can podcast high quality video of this show at submedia.tv.